Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. Today, I want to talk about a topic that's not easy, but it's one we'll all have to deal with at some time. It's about grief. I call it when grief comes to town. And really, it's when grief comes to the island. As a child, I remember singing a song adapted from the poem No Man is an Island by John Donne. We would sing, No man is an island, no man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. The verse carries a lovely sentiment, one I believe to be true. But empathy and connection come with a price. When I heard last week that two of my beloved island friends had lost their daughters in the tragic Lake Tahoe avalanche, I keeled over and screamed, No! How, I wondered, can anyone bear such pain? The answer may be complex, but my simple response is, together. Let's bear it together. The news of the tragedy traveled swiftly around the island, carried by the beachcomber and a network of friends who loved the parents, Ted and Vicky Claybaugh. Their daughters had grown up here, so the grief surrounding the loss of these two wonderful middle-aged mothers was palpable. Sharing in such grief gives us an opportunity to learn about it and to reflect on how we ourselves want to meet it, knowing it is something we will all face. Yet many of us in North American culture are not very practiced at being with grief. While I'm not a grief expert, I've learned a great deal by witnessing my own experiences and those of others. And my bottom line is this. There is no one right way to grieve. Repeat, there is no one right way to grieve. And when grief comes to town, there's no point in telling it what to do. Grief comes with its own agenda. Sometimes grief crashes through the walls of our lives with one terrible announcement. Other times, grief waits in the wings for years, showing up intermittently as a loved one slowly drifts away. That was the kind of grief I felt for 2 years as my mother slipped away, a few ounces at a time. Grief can attach itself to so many emotions: sorrow, frustration, anger, rage, even moments of unexpected joy. It can taste sweet or incredibly bitter. It may visit for weeks or stay for years. It may arrive as a compassionate companion or a relentless taskmaster. Grief takes many shapes. It carries its own marching orders, and it leaves on its own timetable. I'd never presume to tell anyone what to do with their particular grief after great loss. But if asked, I would say this. There are many paths, and your grief will be uniquely your own. You may choose to let grief be a companion, or you may try to box it away. But grief that is hidden still lives in us. For that reason, I believe it's often kinder to let it out of the closet. You may want to share your grief with others, or you may not. Sometimes the burden of loss grows lighter when others help hold it with you. What you may need may change over time. Ask your heart again and again, "Oh, my dear broken one, how can I help you bear this grief?" Your heart's answers may shift from one hour to the next. Perhaps you need a hug and a circle of loving friends. Perhaps you prefer stillness and solitude. You might want to talk about what happened, or you may need a period of not talking, or moments of that brief respite we call forgetting. Perhaps you want to get busy, or maybe you need to languish in a long bath and do nothing at all. My heart's grief often wants dark chocolate. Years ago, I read a book I often recommend. It's called It's Okay That You're Not Okay by Megan Devine. The subtitle says it all: Meeting Grief and Loss in a Culture That Doesn't Understand. She makes a compelling case. Most of us simply don't know how to grieve, and it's hard enough to face terrible loss without also having to navigate other people's discomfort with it. Most of us genuinely want to help our friends who are grieving. But if someone you love is in the depths of loss, you may wonder what to say or do. It's okay not to know. In fact, not knowing may be the best place to begin. Listening and simply being present are often far more helpful than speaking. By listening, you can discover what might truly support your friend. Would they like flowers, a cup of coffee, food, a plant for the garden, help around the house? It all depends. Tune yourself carefully to what your friends need. Make gentle offers and see what is most welcome. What you don't want to do, and I repeat, what you don't want to do, is tell people what they should feel. Never, never that. All feelings, however complicated, are welcome. Pontificating wears thin very quickly. And telling a grieving person that their loved one has, quote, gone to a better place, can sometimes irritate more than comfort. Exceptions do apply. If you share that language within a mutual faith tradition, it might land differently. But I challenge you, because sometimes a statement like that is a way of saying, "I am uncomfortable with your grief, and I'd like to sugarcoat it for you." Don't try to fix the grief, and don't rush in to offer a silver lining. If your friend finds something genuine to be grateful for, welcome it. But the silver lining reflex is often a way of saying, "I'm uncomfortable with your pain." And nobody needs that. Avoid offering timelines. Grief takes as long as it takes. Might be weeks, might be years. Even the private thought, "They should be over it by now," only muddies the water. And while compassion is a great virtue, and your own losses may inform how you show up, remember that your friend's grief journey belongs to them. In the end, what's most important is to listen and love. And know that on our island, on Vashon Island, no one needs to stand alone. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.